action of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine.
Are you fucking with me?
I am
just disagreeing with you. In America, we have the freedom of speech, the right to disagree.
Any human being, anywhere, is well within his right to do whatever is necessary by any means necessary to protect his life and property, especially in a country where the federal government itself has proven that it is either unable or unwilling to protect the lives and property of those human beings.
54, Pierce.
Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything more comes from the evil one. Think about that. Even in the words you speak, there is a boundary. You don't need to embellish. You don't need to argue. You don't need to defend.
All right, what's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. November 21st, 2025, 7:08 p.m. I'm here with Brian. What's up, Brian?
Good evening. Another day, another dollar. Well, not really.
I work today. I work today.
Good for you.
Yours is waiting for you there somewhere on the horizon. But I mean, at least you're not paying 30-some percent to the government. Yeah. You know, I was looking at some of that stuff today. It's like, all right, so I signed up with I'm not going to say which one, but it's you pay a certain amount each month and they'll send you like gold and silver.
Okay.
A particular amount. You can sign up for different tiers and all that. And then I got an email that said, well, thank you for signing up. Your order of constitutional silver is on the way. And I'm like, what the fuck is constitutional silver? So I Googled it, and it's like the old coins that used to be made out of like 90% silver. Mm. I don't know how much, probably like one, but so they stopped making coins out of silver in 1965. That was under, was it LBJ?
That's Johnson, yeah.
Oh, I thought, okay, yeah, LBJ. I thought that stood for LeBron James. Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding.
Maybe it does.
But, yeah, so you know the reason they did that?
I was not prepared for that question, no.
Well, the price of silver started surging. And people started hoarding their silver coins because it was actually the price of silver. The coins were actually gaining value. Hmm. So the government couldn't have that. So that's when he passed the Coinage Act of 1965, Lyndon B. Johnson. So they stopped putting silver in the coins because it's just, I mean, just another act of fucking, another attack on the people, you know? Does it make any sense? The coins were gaining value, and they thought that was a detrimental thing. I mean, people were hoarding them. I could see that.
If you hoard them or melt them down and they're worth more than the face value, then.
Yeah.
That's sort of inevitable, I guess.
Right. And then roughly about 6 years after that was when Nixon took us off the gold standard. And what year did the petrodollar start? I want to say it wasn't. It was shortly after that.
And that would have been around 75.
Right. So 4 years later. And I mean, basically our dollar right now is just backed by our military. That's my opinion. If you know what I mean.
Backed by the might of yeah. the American military.
Yeah, that's what you know.
Pay your debt or pay the price.
Right. It's like, I mean, they just keep doing all these things that supposedly help us. Like, I'll give you the Affordable Care Act. How do you feel about that?
Well, let's see. We were paying over $2,000 a month for family coverage. It had a $16,000 a year deductible that we had to meet before they would pay off. So you had to pay everything out of pocket until you paid $16,000, and then they would start kicking in. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. You know, before that, we had a policy. The last time I was self-employed, I want to say we were paying $350 a month, $400 a month. You know, it was a good right. plan. It covered the whole family. Deductible was reasonable, $1,200, something like that. And then Obamacare is just ridiculously expensive.
Right.
And then they subsidize all the poor people. And that's how that happens.
Right. I mean, I'm with the UAW, and I thank God, you know, besides cops and stuff like that, we're one of the last ones left that don't have to pay a monthly fee. But I'm sure they're going to try to, you know, the next contract, they're always trying to get that. So who knows what will happen. But my dad, after my mom passed away, my dad is broke. You know, he had issues with gambling and stuff in his life, and he went into his 401k and all that. And so he couldn't afford the Obamacare, so he just went without it. And then when he went to go do his taxes at the end of the year, they hit him with a $1,500 fine for not having Obamacare. And he could have been getting it free from the VA the whole time, but he was too proud.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he said, fuck it, I'm going to the VA. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one thing after the other with these people.
Yep.
So I've been, you know anything about Bill Cooper?
Nope.
You know Alex Jones, right?
Yeah.
He was like Alex Jones before Alex Jones. Okay. He was, he had a radio show back in, I want to say like the late 90s. And he was supposedly he was naval intelligence. They try to say that like if you look it up, they cannot confirm or deny that. But I think he really was. And he was basically anti-government, like what I did was I started on the first episode of his radio show. And he had a regular real-time broadcast on radio. He had ads and all that.
Yeah.
And the very first show, it was basically just like he had a show before that, but I want to say it was like maybe ham radio or something like that. And he got so many followers that he got himself a contract for this radio show. And so the first episode that was available to me that I know of, he was basically just getting to know the audience and stuff and introduce. He's the one that wrote, have you ever heard of the book Behold a Pale Horse?
No.
It's a good book. You should check that out. But he wrote that book. And not unlike Alex Jones, a lot of it was like commercialism, like trying to sell his books or trying to get people to join a club, you know, like the Sovereign Citizens. Or
you got to get this supplement.
Right, right. Alex Jones is the supplements, but this guy was trying to sell his book. This was back in the early 90s, like $25 a copy. I'm like, damn, you know, but yeah, some interesting takes on shit, man. Like, he actually predicted 9/11. Let's see. June 28th, 2001. On radio. But Alex Jones did the same thing. So, and he did it on video. But so this guy, like I said, I was listening to the first couple of episodes and it's kind of depressing, man. You know, he's like kind of drags you down a little bit, but it is interesting. So, he started talking about the NRA. And he's like, what is the NRA? It's an arm of the government to find out who's got rifles. You know what I mean? Are you in the NRA?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, at face value, it's the second largest, or it used to be, I don't know if that's true anymore, but the second largest lobbying organization in the United States, you know, so you, that's part of our legal system when it comes to, you know, getting laws passed and protecting our rights is having a lobby organization that'll speak for you. It's an arm, just like having a state representative and a state senator, you know. And, you know, old people have AARP. Is the government, you know, using AARP to monitor all the old people? I don't know. Who knows? Maybe, probably. Yeah, yeah. Let's just assume they are. And that goes for the NRA as well. They already know every time you buy a gun, you have to go through the background check. So,
not necessarily. I mean, every time you buy a gun, yeah. But I mean, a lot of guns get passed down through the family. You know what I mean?
Oh, I mean, mine aren't registered in any way. They have, there's no traceability. They were all, you know, not all, but a huge portion of what I have are family heirlooms, you know? So, right. But it takes one rifle that you bought from a store, and now your name's on their database. So you have a gun, it doesn't matter how many you have, right?
Or even a debit card to buy ammo,
right?
You know what I mean? But
it's, yeah,
the old joke, I lost all my guns in a fishing accident.
Yeah. Yep. Well, sir, you don't live near a lake. Isn't that, that's wild how that happened. It's a hell of a story. Hey, I mean, you've got GOA, you've got Gun Owners of America, you've got, all kinds of Second Amendment protection lobby organizations out there. NRA is just the biggest one. Yeah, I've got a lifetime membership. I don't agree with everything they do, but it's easy, right? It's kind of like the easy button. They're doing mostly what I want them to do, which is fight for gun rights.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I mean, it really is. They have a lot to do with politics.
exactly what a lobby group is for, right? It's all politics. 100%.
And if you believe that they're on even on two different sides of the aisle anymore, because I'm starting to question that. But I'm sure, I mean, like on gun rights, maybe they are, but like for instance, Trump. How do you feel about Trump right now?
You're hitting me with the hard balls. It you would think, based on the news, that he's extremely unpopular right now, but everybody I know that voted for him, for the reasons that they're seeing manifested daily in his actions, everybody I know is happy with him. Is it perfect? No, Trump, we know Trump's not perfect. I didn't want to vote for him the first time. I wasn't a never Trumper, obviously, because I did vote for him, but I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I was looking at what's his name, Gary Johnson, for a while, and then he jumped a shark. And I reluctantly voted for Trump in 2016 or 2015, but I voted for him again in 2019 because I knew he would do, what he said he would do, and for the most part, to me, that's true. I don't necessarily like all his cabinet picks, but it's a damn sight better than Biden. I know
Oh
that much.
God, I couldn't. There's no way I can disagree with that statement. But I
And
mean,
who?
let me tell you my two main gripes with Trump. And I know you don't like getting into it about this, but Israel, I really don't think we need to be blowing Israel or Netanyahu or however you want to put that. And the other thing is the AI, his involvement with Palantir and Peter Thiel and all the surveillance. He used to talk about being against all that stuff, and that Peter Thiel is the main dude that funded J.D. Vance's political career. And he just kind of did a 180. And it's like with the Epstein files. He's like, "Why are you guys still talking about this?" And I'm like, "What? Where
Yeah,
did that? That is crazy,
that
dude."
was crazy. I mean,
So,
he kind of about faced on that.
yeah.
As
But he
far
did
as,
about face on a few things.
yeah, he did. As far as Israel goes, I have always looked at Israel, quite frankly, as the United States that used to be the United, in the way that they handled threats, in the way that they handled attacks. If you come up to Israel and try to sucker punch them, they're going to kill you. And that's, the United States used to be that way. We don't negotiate with terrorists. That was World War II America. You try to punch us in the face, we're going to send you to the hospital. And Israel has always been that way. And I've always admired them for that, especially considering where they're at, you know, and they're surrounded by countries that hate them, that want them wiped, literally wiped off the earth. And then if, on top of that, if our monetary system is in fact, you know, the petrodollar, and it is dependent on oil, we know the Middle East is providing a shit ton of that oil, and they're our only real ally, I would say, Israel, you know, and it's a scratch my back, we'll scratch yours kind of thing. Are they way more powerful than they should be? Maybe. You know, are they pulling the strings more than they should be? Maybe. I wouldn't want to be on their bad side, you know, but if they're the sole entity in the Middle East that we can rely on, we know that they've got our back and we've got the, and they know we've got their back. That's an exceptionally valuable situation to have when you're dependent on oil. And, you know, if we could get oil independence by drilling off the coast of California, by drilling, you know, in the Gulf of America more or any place, whatever, maybe that's a path to where that tight-knit relationship spreads apart a little bit more, you know, and Israel's not, we're not in a position where we're having to do what they want all the time, because that seems to be what's going on. So if it's not them, who would it be? Venezuela? you know, the Philippines? These territories we have that are probably, you know, resource rich, they're undependable. They're, you know, like, especially in the Pacific region, China is just chomping at the bit to pull a Japan, you know, World War II Japan.
Well, so speaking of resources, whatever happened, remember when Trump was talking about buying Greenland?
Yeah.
What?
I think it's probably still on the table. It's not a bad, who owns it, Finland?
I don't even know.
I think it's Finland. It might be, there might be an international contingent portion of it, but it's probably not a bad idea. I think there's like three ways Trump communicates, right? He makes shit up on the fly. He says things that are exceptionally hyperbolic for effect. that he may be testing the waters with, right? So it's like, I'm going to buy Greenland. I'm going to make Canada the 51st state. You know, he says,
I'm going to run for a third term.
I'm going to run for a third term, right? Some of it's bullshit. Some of it's just like test balloons. And some of it is, I believe he's shown that when he says something, like when he was talking about the Wuhan flu, you know, everything he was saying turned out to be correct. So right. He's got intel. He's got the information. I don't think the system, you know, the insiders want him to communicate that stuff to the public, and he does it anyway. And so he's dangling in the wind with a lot of that stuff. And it looks like he's making it up, right? So it's hard to distinguish the difference between those three things at times. And that's what drives a lot of staunch conservatives absolutely bonkers. And it's what fuels the left, because the left can't tell the difference between the three. They don't think there is a difference. They think it's all the same, that Trump is just, he's a liar, and
you know, he's mean.
He's a mean liar.
Orange man.
And he's trying to be dictator. Yeah, that's their right. whole thing. So I, you know, I may have left something out, but I think those are the three main, you know, Trump communication cards that he plays. He's not a dumb man, you know. So when he says something that sounds crazy, he's either fucking with people, and it might, you know, and I was saying this to my son, who has turned very, very left, that, you know, he's trolling. And my son just lost his shit. That's not appropriate for the president of the United States of America to be trolling people like that. It's like, well, do you know what year it is, dude?
It works, man. It works.
It's like Twitter, you know, back in the day, everybody hated it because Trump spoke his mind, you know, and that was one of the questions I had that I kind of posed to you about a topic, is like, if could there be a politician that is just brutally honest, and would they survive? I mean, no holds barred. Goes into Congress and just says, AOC is full of shit, and here's why. Boom, boom, boom. You know,
I mean,
Rashida Tlaib is full of shit, and here's why. Boom, boom, boom. And
isn't, you know, Trump about the closest we've had so far, though? I mean,
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And that's part. So
that's what people want.
It's the hypothetical question, though. Could, because politics, by definition, is compromise. You know, you bring ideas to the table, your opponents bring things to the table, you try to see, you know, what fits together, you throw away what doesn't, you come together with a compromise. And somebody who only tells the truth and doesn't smokescreen everything for consumability, you know, because that's what happens, is these guys go out there and they make it sound, and J.D. Vance is quite a storyteller. You know, he can make things sound really good. He's pretty straight shooter though, but yeah, people can't stand Trump for that. And
oh yeah, the left would hate him. I mean, Vance, they've already hate Trump. So, I mean, when you come out there telling the truth, you're going to be hated by half the country. And that's just the way it is. Right? Or am I? Of course I'm right. There's no two ways about it. All right. Now, since we're talking about politics, are you familiar with Dearborn, Michigan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've been there.
Have you ever been to the food. Have you? What's that?
I had some halal food.
Okay. You ever been to the Taco Bell that has Sharia law, where men and women have to stand in separate lines?
No. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. I'm dead serious. All right.
No, that's unacceptable. That's like the new mayor of New York City was saying. New York.
Hold on.
Under.
All right. Sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties, but we were talking about Dearborn, Michigan. And for the listeners that aren't aware of that, that's so me and we're in Ohio. Me, I'm on the border of Ohio and Michigan, and I've been. Me and Brian have both been to Dearborn. And so, like, you can't – it's hard to criticize. Like, if you come to a new country, you're going to gravitate towards your own people. Am I right, Brian?
Yeah. That's evidenced by Chinatown and Little Italy and
yeah, I mean,
all that stuff, right?
I don't – I can't think of – I'm sure it happens in other countries. I mean, like with Americans, but I don't know for sure if that ever happens, but seems like everybody comes here, but I got one story. All right. So this happened in 2001. So, you know, the big industrial air conditioners on top of like building, you know, like high rises and stuff.
Yeah.
This dude that I. So he's up on top of this building working on this air conditioner. And that was when the shit happened and when the shit went down with 9/11 in New York. This was in Dearborn. And he said they were dancing in the streets. Now, why would you come here and cheer? I understand bonding together in a little community and gravitating towards your own people, but why would you cheer that a couple of thousands of people just been killed?
or Charlie Kirk, or is it any different? It's the same thing, in my opinion.
Right.
Tribalism.
All right. What I was getting at was, I want to share this. This is Dearborn, Michigan City Council from earlier this week that got out of control. So, share sound. I used to fuck this up a lot, Brian. I would always forget to share sound, and I would have to do it like two or three times, but I already did mess.
President Trump, send ICE. Send ICE into Dearborn. These people have overstayed their visas. They're H-1B chain migration invaders, and they have come to this country to destroy our way of life. We know exactly your laws in your book about lying to our faces, pretending to be Americans, wearing your suits. We don't want you here. Respectfully, get the fuck out of my country. I don't want you here. We don't want you here. I don't want you here. You guys are not us, and get the fuck out. America first. America only. God bless America. Jesus is king. Jesus is king.
Thank you.
Jesus is king. Jesus is king.
Thank you.
Jesus is king. Jesus is king.
Order in the chambers. Order in the chambers.
Not surrender.
You fucking swine.
Back down. This is what Muslim America
wants us to do.
They want us to cower. Christians, stand up. Stand tall. America, across this country, rise up just like we did today in Dearborn, in Texas. In Florida and the rest of the country. Christ is king, boys.
President Trump.
What do you think, Brian? I think it was a little bit too much, but there wasn't no context. So we don't know what happened, what it's about.
But we do know, well, true. But we do know Dearborn has effectively been co-opted by Islam.
And yeah, by including the politicians.
Right. So we do know that. We do know people don't like it. We do know things have been pushed a little too far. It's like, I think we were talking about this on maybe the other podcast about, you know, the Native Americans. When the settlers first got here, you know, the first year the Native Americans would wage guerrilla warfare on the settlers, wipe out all the food for like 20 miles around a settlement and force them to go way out and be slaughtered or die out in the woods, right? And then what happened, this went on for a little while, this tactic was not appreciated, and we retaliated in the way that you would. You know, if you've got a much superior force and you've got, you know, a big army and railroads and you've got ways to move people around and, you know, and we would go out and we, like you brought up the buffalo, you know, we wiped out the buffalo. It was a big middle finger to the Indians. It was not right. It was not the right thing to do. However, it's kind of apples and oranges. Apples and apples with this situation, right? If you push people and you push them and you push them and you infringe, and now they're blasting, you know, calls to prayer in neighborhoods that are not Muslim, people are going to lose their shit. You know, they're going to pop. Right. They are going to go too far because nothing is being done about it. So, you know, starts out with wiping out the deer around a village. It ends up with a million buffalo being slaughtered just to wipe, you know, to put pressure on the people that were attacking in the first place. So
now, the last time you were in Dearborn, was that the Ford Museum or was that something else?
No, it was work.
Okay.
It was work. I've been there a few times. I couldn't tell you who the customer was, but I wanted to get some. I knew that there was a, very large Islamic culture there, and I love Middle Eastern food. So I went and I looked for some Middle Eastern food, and I was like the only white dude for quite some time. And I was, I stood out. I'm 6'5". So it's like, I walked in that, they thought I was a cop or something, I think, because his eyes got big. People kind of sat back in their seats. Just like, I just want food, dude. I just want some falafel and hummus, man.
Shawarma. Honestly, I get along with Muslims because the ones that I've met, they don't take no shit. And a lot of Americans do, and I hate to say it, but that's just the way it is, And okay, that brings me to another point. Now, remember what I was texting you earlier about Noah's sons?
Mm-hmm.
Did you look anything into that?
No, I didn't have time.
All right, so supposedly Noah had three sons, Japheth, Shem, and Ham. And according to the Bible, Japheth and his descendants basically, let's just say white people. All right, so he went north and populated, the northern hemisphere. And then Ham basically black. So he went towards Africa, the south. And so Shem would have been like the Middle East. And or I don't know. That's the gist of it. But then if you go back, and here's the thing. In the Quran, okay, so you remember when the issue when Noah got drunk and remember. Was it Ham that uncovered his father's nakedness? Right?
I don't remember.
I think it might have been Ham, but so the other two, they backed up and covered him up respectfully, but. And they refuse to take part with this. Anyway, the Quran. All right. So when this happened with Ham, he was cursed. Which is confusing because God cursed Canaan, which was Ham's son that hasn't been born yet. Or was Canaan someone else? Or was Canaan Ham? Or, what I'm saying? Because a lot of the Bible verses we know have been, there's been, a lot's been left out, a lot's been changed. Okay, so the Quran was written around what, 600 BC? AD. Around 600, right? So.
I believe so.
We don't know if it's right or if it's wrong, but they're saying that Canaan was one of Noah's sons. And he refused to get on the ark. And he decided he was going to try to take shelter on the top of a mountain and avoid the flood. So, I mean, I'm not saying the Quran is. What I'm saying is, maybe, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. What do you think?
I'm not sure where you're going, man. I don't know.
I think that it could be, I think, because, all right, when Ham got cursed, God said, God told Noah, Canaan will be cursed. That doesn't make any sense because he wasn't even born yet. Okay, like I said, like me and you have agreed, a lot of these Bible scriptures have been left out or changed because people back then already knew what was going on. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh, we can leave that out because they already know. But.
So Canaan was the son of Ham.
According to the Bible, but like I'm saying, listen to me. God said Canaan will be cursed because of what Ham, this is after all this, whatever happened with Noah and his drunkenness. But why would, that doesn't make any sense because Canaan wasn't born yet if he was the son of Ham, right? But now you got this other literature that is from 600 AD that's saying Canaan refused to get on the ark. I don't know. To me, that's interesting. It deserves to be looked into. You know what I mean? I don't know. A little bit.
We know that his three sons were born before the flood, and Ham was the youngest. And I just don't see when those sons had children. Seems to be after the flood.
All right, so I guess we're at a stalemate on that one. But here, I got a funny one for you.
You're springing deep topics on me, man.
Check this out.
You really want to worry about the government? You need an F-16.
Mess with the men in America unless you want to get the benefit.
Buy a shotgun. You know that 28 out of every high school student is Latino. More than half of women in my administration are
only 28.
We went for two reasons. One, to let's talk about everybody being able to, no matter what your age, go out and be able to purchase cocaine. What do you think about that idea?
Donald Trump's presidency. Guess what? You know.
By the way, it's all his fault that we're spending $6 billion in taxpayer money this month to help AIDS, fight HIV. Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
Beer brewed here, it is used to make the brew beer in this fine. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lakes. I wonder why he's coming.
Come on, man. Really want to worry about.
What was it he said? There were 16 9/11s.
Just think about that. The left hates the right so much that they would rather elect Joe Biden, that they reelected that guy.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, he was vice president, but.
All right, did you see this one here? Are you all right, Brian? I don't even know if you watch football. We've never talked about this.
Nope.
All right. Anyway,
I'm ignorant.
So Travis Hunter was the very first draft pick in the past year out of Colorado. And he has pissed off some people. Says Jacksonville Jaguars phenom Travis Hunter, which he plays both sides of the ball, by the way. He's a cornerback and a wide receiver. He did that in college, which is not unusual. But to be able to do it in the NFL – it's like you got maybe a handful. All right. So he has set off a firestorm after refusing to wear the LGBT armband ahead of the team's next matchup, boldly rejecting what he called a woke agenda. Hunter didn't mince words. Football is about the game, the grind, and the fans. Not politics. Stop forcing this on us. His statement has ignited fierce debate across the league and beyond. He's 100% right.
It should ignite debate whenever any corporation promotes some kind of LGBTQ thing. But right. What do they have to do with it? Nothing. They're trying to make money off of it. That's it. That's all the NFL is doing.
No. They're not just trying to make money. They're being bullied by BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, who are being paid off by Soros and whoever else to push this demonic agenda. That's what it is, man. They don't want families. They don't want, you know, like I watched, it's crazy. When I get home from work, first thing I'll do is I'll sit down and I'll watch an episode of Andy Griffith. And, the one I watched yesterday. All right, so this rich businessman drives into town and everybody's just getting out of church. Andy, Barney, everybody. Everybody goes to church, right? But that's beside the point. So they're all just shaking hands after church, you know, talking to the pastor, greeting each other and getting ready to head out. And this guy's like, all right, who do I got to talk to? My car is 2 miles outside the town. And everybody directs him to Andy. Well, Andy Taylor on the show, right? Gomer, it's weird. They call it the Andy Griffith Show, but it's weird. But anyway.
Gomer Pyle was the auto guy, wasn't he?
Who's that?
Gomer Pyle was the car guy before he spun off his own show.
Yeah, that's where he wound up going, right? So they direct him to the sheriff. And he goes, well, I can tell you the guy that owns the gas station, I can't remember his name. He goes, but he ain't going to help you because he don't work on Sundays. And the guy's like, what? You know? And so he goes, well, just take me there anyway. So he takes him to the gas station. Gomer's there working. And he's like, well, all I can do is put gas in your car. You know, he's a dumbass. And so, and then, I don't even know where I was going, but anyway,
values, American values.
No, yeah, values. I found myself saying, like, well, how come nobody's working on Sunday? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, well, duh, it's the Sabbath, you know? I mean, supposedly. Now, have you ever heard that the Sabbath got changed?
I'm sure it had. I mean, because for Jews, for Judaism, it's what, the sunset on Friday till sunset on Saturday is the Sabbath. And so Christians observing it is really more of a tradition. It's not law, right? It's
right.
Judaism, it's law. But
okay. So what is it to you? And it sounds like you know what you're talking about more than I do. So tell me what does it mean? How did it change? And what does it mean to you?
Oh, dude.
So, I'm sorry, man. But
no, it's all right. It's just I haven't thought about this for a while. But, you know, I know. So the history of it back again with, you know, Judaism is, you know, work was forbidden and work was left to be interpreted in a lot of different ways. And it was everything. It's like from buckling your belt to putting a loaf of bread in the oven, you know? And so modern Jews have things like, you know, if you ever wondered why there are timers on your oven to turn the oven on at a certain time, it's because the Jews needed it for Sabbath. I'm not kidding. So they could prepare it, put all the work in on Friday, stick it in the oven, and then it would start cooking automatically Saturday during the Sabbath. They're not doing it because the machine's doing it. And then they get their bread, their fresh bread, you know, their fresh food. And so, you know,
That's interesting.
Come up with a lot of workarounds. You know, there's like at one point, I want to say this is in the New Testament. This guy was pulling water up out of a well using his belt. Nope. Your power just died.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. But now we're still recording though.
Okay.
I don't know what the fuck that was about. But go ahead.
No, well, you know, this guy's using a machine to do the work for him because he wasn't allowed to do the work, you know. So it has been, as humans do, you know, corrupted the spirit of it, which was a command from God to take a break, you know, to honor him, honor his day of rest as a day of rest. I think it's smart. I think it's healthy. I think if we followed it, we'd probably be better society and better people, you know, but we don't. And for Christianity, we don't follow Judaic law. And it's not, like I said, it's not a law, but it is a tradition, you know, and then that turned into Sundays or the day we go to church, and Sundays are the day, you know, is it Sunday so that it's not the same day as the Jewish Sabbath? Maybe, you know, maybe.
Oh, shit.
What's up?
Something happened. I'm telling you, man, the devil probably did this shit.
You're still recording.
It is? How do you know?
It says it on my screen.
I don't know what the hell's going on my end. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I mean, if it says you're still recording.
No. I don't know. But if you don't have control of it, how do you get the recording?
No, it's kind of just doing the little thing where the circle spins. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. Hey.
No.
I'll listen to it all the way through. I'm not going to put it out tonight anyway. I'll put it out tomorrow, but
yeah, so I think from a Christian tradition standpoint, and Christianity's got a lot of traditions, right? A lot. A Sabbath is one of them. Day of rest is what I think my dad would call it. And again, you know, so Christians kind of designated Sunday as the day, probably so that it's not on the Jewish Sabbath. There's got to be some story there. It's not a coincidence, you know. So asking, did it change? Yeah, because it would have been Friday, you know, Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. Instead, we just kind of treat it, you know, one day of the week. We kind of take things easy. We go to church. We have family picnics, whatever. And a lot of Christians don't want to work on Sunday. I don't blame them, you know. Hobby Lobby is closed on Sundays, right, for that reason. So,
right.
I think
my wife goes there.
Yeah, your video stopped on my side.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll just keep on rolling.
So, you know, growing up, we didn't take it any more seriously than I do today, which, oh, your video's back, than we treat it as a family day. You know, when we try to have a family dinner, we bring, you know, my son and his boyfriend and my daughter's boyfriend come over, and we all, you know, have a big meal together, break bread, right? Have a meal together. It's not religious. It's just a family tradition, you know, but it leans on that Christian tradition. If I were pressed, like, and I don't know how that would happen, but if there were something, some revelation that I had or something that said, don't, you know, treat